Let's turn our attention to the NSAIDs first. We know they inhibit prostaglandin synthesis, so we know basically this is the scheme of things. There are two families of enzymes called cyclooxygenase. COX-1 and COX-2 both cause the formation of prostanoids, which are prostaglandins and other factors that are similar to prostaglandins, like thromboxanes and prostacyclins. So we know COX-1 enzymes makes prostaglandins that affect GI mucosal barrier, renal function, platelet aggregation, and vasoconstriction. And COX-2 makes prostaglandins that affect pain and inflammation, renal function, platelet inhibition, and vasodilation. Also, COX-1 enzymes cause the formation of thromboxanes, and COX-2 enzymes cause the formation of prostacyclins. So if we just look at the prostaglandins here, then the logic says, let's just make drugs that inhibit COX-2. You can control the inflammatory process that leads to pain and inflammation. And incidentally, by inhibiting only COX-2, we will be less likely to have a problem with inhibiting platelets together, so less bleeding. But here's where things fell apart. What we didn't know was that these two are in balance with each other. This is in balance. If I only inhibit this, then platelets will actually be more likely to aggregate. So you might be promoting thrombotic events in patients with history of coronary artery disease and strokes. So this got the whole COX-2 revolution in trouble, since there was a documented increase in the incidence of thrombotic events. But we have learned a lot in the past 10 years since the introduction of COX-2, and we have found out that actually none of them are pure COX-2s and none of them are pure COX-1s. They have a predilection towards inhibiting one over the other. In fact, you can go to the authoritative studies and textbooks and see the predilection for the most popular drugs that I have listed here. So here we have ketorolac, which is a popular drug for IV use. It is more COX-1 selective than COX-2. Celebrex and etodolac are more selective for COX-2 inhibition. So let's see what we got here. Toradol, you have GI toxicity and bleeding. Celebrex, safest for GI, but more likely to promote thrombosis in certain patients. So the ultimate question here is whether there are any scientific evidence that any of these NSAIDs are more effective in reducing pain and inflammation than the rest. And the answer is no. They're all the same. Allowing for onset, PO ibuprofen is equipotent to IV toradol. So here we have our COX-1 side effects, and you have your COX-2 side effects, and then you have your renal perfusion concerns on both sides. So I'm thinking, why not choose a middle-of-the-road drug here? And lo and behold, we have our ibuprofen and naproxen there. For the most part, we're all on solid grounds using ibuprofen as our standard drug of choice. But it's good to have one other option that is fairly expensive for those patients that won't believe in our Motrin since it's over the counter.